I think what really saddens me about the death of Christopher Reeve is, you know, for other men in his circumstance, maybe it'd be all right. You know, because it'd be such a relief from the very low quality of life that he, I'm sure, was leading. But what makes it so sad in the case of Christopher Reeve is he had such a lust for life. You know, he really wanted to be around for that big miracle cure that actually a lot of people have been talking about lately, was stem cell research, right? And he just so wanted to hang on that makes it particularly sad. A lot of people in his position would have some time ago have given up and would not have lasted as long as he did. But he had such a zest for life, so I don't know, that makes it tough. All right, here comes Zeph Daniel. And in all the years that I've been reading these intros that are written up for people that are going to be guests on the show, this one contains, this is some wild stuff. There's no question about it. Zeph, welcome to the program.
Hello, Art, and our prayers and love to the Christopher Reeve family, and of course, Christopher Reeve, wherever he is, God bless you.
No, he's in a good place.
Yes.
You know that much anyway.
I can tell you this, though. That intro sounded pretty pretty wild.
Well, yeah, I thought so, too.
Yeah, and, you know, except for, you know, dabbling in the horror genre, which I suppose was a way to try to get a handle on some of the things that I had seen in my life. Actually, I was not it's not really true that I was a failed victim of mind control.
Well, who wrote this?
I think this was from a couple of years ago, and
was it true then?
It's true. It's just the way it's all put together. It's just a lot of.
All right. Well, I know George has interviewed you. I have not yet. So let's begin at the beginning. I mean, satanic ritual abuse. I need to know something about that anyway.
Okay. Basically, like this. There is Satanism on the planet, obviously.
Obviously.
And what is the goal of Satanism and Satanists, what do they want? Well, it's usually power. They want the power from it. And a lot of times, you know, families and generations are born and then, you know, and then someone goes over to the satanic side. That passes on to the next generation and
sure.
The next. And it's like a bloodline type of thing.
And there was that line in your family, I guess, huh?
A line there. And in the case of, it's kind of ugly in a sense, but basically it goes like this. The idea is to break a person down, even as a child, and to get the soul to dislodge from the vessel, that is, to dissociate. And to then be indwelt with as powerful a demon as can be as possible, so that person then grows up with the ability, with lots of power and the ability to, you know, wield power within the satanic system, let's say.
Zeph, I interviewed a young lady on my program once who was a Satanist, and she told me that her one big goal was to make absolutely certain that her very young son went straight to hell with her. Uh-huh.
Actually, you know, most of the ones that I know, and I do know, and I have to say this, I've gotten beyond the idea of hating people that have hurt me and all that, and I'm looking at it as the human condition, you know, the spiritual battle. And I've never met anyone who, a Satanist who actually believed they were going to hell. They somehow believed they were going to rise above it. They were going to make a change at some point in their life, that God would eventually forgive them.
Hmm.
They don't believe that. And most of the ones that I know are avid churchgoers. They are they go to Bible study.
Most of the Satanists you know
that
are
I knew
average?
Growing up, yeah, the friends of mine that I had are very active in the church, and they're very active in the community.
Well, that sounds illogical.
No.
Yeah, absolutely illogical. If you're worshiping Satan, and that's the right word, worship,
right. Then
God would be the antithesis of what you believed was true and right and powerful.
right, and I think the reason they get affiliated in these in the church system or the is for the you know for the affiliation for the for business for other reasons. They don't get affiliated with it for the quest for God.
Oh, just a good old boy network, huh?
It's more of a social.
So they then situation. They practice their Satanism in secret.
And also another aspect of it is to do good works to offset the negative, and they believe that by doing that,
like when the mafia gives money to needy organizations, right?
Very, it's the spiritual mafia.
Yeah,
and you know, but the idea is again to get the soul to dislodge. In other words, to traumatize a child or traumatize a victim or a target to the point where they will give up, their spirit will give up, and they'll be able to be indwelt with whatever the family spirit is, or whatever the group spirit is, because Satanists work in groups.
Uh-huh.
So, and that's the idea. The more powerful an entity one is indwelt by, the better they're going to do in life. That's what they think. So what happens to people that refuse or fight back?
Do you know, in fact, that's true? I mean, can you tell me definitively that there are not a lot of Satanists who are rich, powerful, and some names we'd recognize, you know, that there are not people out there gaining from Satan now?
Well, there are people gaining. It's passed on from generation to generation, usually. And the ones that don't go with it usually wind up dead, you know, and
you
they
know.
Call that a satanic sacrifice. It's a brutal system. It's, again, the spiritual mafia. It's a brutal...
You know for a fact that there are human sacrifices to the devil.
Yes, unfortunately. And
how do you have this knowledge? I mean, do you? I don't want you to say anything to get you in any trouble or anybody.
I've been in trouble in terms of actually one person who's works as an assassin told me, as long as you keep talking and writing and publishing, you know, you probably will be all right. But if you go silent, you'll be whacked.
You'll be whacked.
Yeah.
So in other words, to whack you right now would bring too much attention on the dark side.
Well, it would be. Well, then everything Zeph said was right.
That is like the mafia, huh?
Well, it's for me. It was like this. My life was in danger when my programming, and I will go into that in a second about what was my programming. What is mind control, how that's a part of it.
You know people that are spiritual and physical assassins that kill. I mean, I want to understand your level of involvement. Have you seen this with your own eyes? Have you seen it done?
Well, in the work I've done in ministry, I've, you know, obviously been there with confessions with people who have killed, who have assassinated a lot of people.
Hmm.
And usually it's made to look like a missing person or a, you know, an auto wreck or something like that.
Well, you just used the word ministry. You're critical, though. It says here you're critical of organized religion.
Have been.
Why?
Because of seeing the involvement of people that have been duplicitous, let's say, in, for example, Satanists in the church behaving as if they're worshiping God and really they're, I don't know what they're doing there. But they are very much involved in the organization, and it's a battle. I don't have anything against people going to church, really. That's not it. It's looking for God in church rather than being on that quest for God in your life, you know, 24/7. And going to church or going to the library, going to a university or anything like that, I have no problem with that. I don't, you know, that's not the...
So your criticism, then, of organized religion is just what? That it allows these Satanists to get together in some horrible charade?
Let's just say that I've been, you know, hurt in those environments, and I've seen other people hurt in that same way, and I'm like, why is this going on here? This should be a place of worship, a place of a sanctuary, a safe place, a good place. And
I've talked to Satanists, Zeph, who say, look, I don't know how to put this except bluntly. You know, they say that they want I guess they think that this life is it, and they want everything they can get out of this life because that's what they want. And they think Satanism, the dark side, can get these things for them in this life. And, yes, and right. it should be told, is that possible or not? And if it really is possible, then you can understand the temptation that leads them there.
Absolutely. And, you know, we're always, that's how I feel. I feel a lot of compassion for people who've gone to that side, and I understand it perfectly. At the same time, a lot of people, once they're in and they want to get out, they're afraid. I remember praying with one young man that, and he was afraid to pray because they would hear him.
Mm.
And I said, how can they hear you if it's just you and me praying for you to get free of this bondage and to walk out of that Satanism and just accept God and go that straight and narrow and just stay on that path? Why so afraid to pray?
Well, we're a very short-term kind of society, Zeph. We want instant gratification, you know, instant results, and nice cars, nice homes, lots of nice things, and maybe people have come to believe that, and maybe there is an example that Satan can provide that. Of course, you know, it's pay later, right, on the pay later plan, but
pay,
still.
Pay later, and you do pay with, you know, your soul, but the thing is for everyone that has all those things, there are many who are poor and are wanting to, and they're waiting, and they're doing favors for the group, for the coven, for however they're affiliated with Satan.
Yes.
And they do, you know, they do what they're told to do, and they enslave themselves to that, hoping that one day their ship's going to come in, because they're after all, they're giving everything up in order to get the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but how come it hasn't come in? How come their ship hasn't come in? How come they're not rich?
Well, I guess what I asked you a little while ago is, how do you know there aren't a bunch of rich, well-to-do Satanists?
Well, there are.
And, well, there you are.
And, you know, and that's the temptation. It's the temptation. It's the lust for this life. But beyond that, it's in a way ignorance, because most of the people that I know that are there, they yearn to be out of it, but they don't know how to get out of it.
Well,
and so there is the battle, and that's where that spiritual battle comes in, and it's every individual's battle.
Boy, I'll tell you, the Satanists I've talked to, and I've talked to a few, Zeph, they didn't want out at all. You know, in fact, they were laughing at religion, laughing at God, laughing at that whole trip. No, Zeph, I didn't get that feeling at all. I guess everybody,
I know those too, just the same type of people you're talking about.
Well, yes. I'm sure that from your point of view, you want them converted, you want them to understand your truth, and or the truth, and convert. But the ones I've talked to, Zeph, they weren't like that at all. They were happy, just happy and as devoted to Satan as the most religious person that I'd have on the air, you know, trying to proselytize.
Yes, absolutely. And I, you know, and a lot of those that seem so happy are a magnet for others to want to be like them.
Of course.
And you get a society going that direction, and it's not hard to figure out if everyone could get in that and get the money and grab onto this life while this life is going on, they would do it. If they don't value their soul, and that really is where the rub is. Is there a soul?
Well, you know, I was about to ask you that in the form of a more difficult question, and that is, if I were to ask you to do your very best to convince me that there's a soul, that we really have a soul, how would you do it?
Well, what I would say is this, in your quietest moments, when you have thoughts of that are not timed, in other words, not geared to this temporal life. For example, the idea of love, the idea of looking at nature and seeing its beauty, the idea of listening to your own inner thoughts. Are you your ego, or are you something deeper?
And are you sure you're not confusing consciousness with soul?
Well, I think the soul is conscious, and I think the ego battles the soul or tries to put it into bondage to make so that you think the ego, your I, is, you know, this life, the flesh, your desires, is who you are. But I like to say this, you are a soul. What is the soul? The soul is you without the ego. And who is that person? A lot of people don't know that person.
Huh.
Heads, they don't value that. They value the ego. The ego is the one that decides to grab on to, even though this is a this life is fleeting, to grab on to it. But in Satanism, you have to remember, it is a conscious decision to give that soul up. People
right.
do know they're going
right.
to give something up. They know it's not for free. They know there's a price to pay. You don't get all that stuff for nothing.
Are you fortunate that you were not sacrificed in the name of Lucifer?
Well, it's amazing to me that there was intervention, which also has proven, you know, that God exists and God has had his hand on me.
Were you in danger of being sacrificed?
I was.
You were?
Several times, and I remember...
How close?
Well, I was in a coma in Denver when I was 18, and I was given pharmaceutical phenobarbital enough to kill about 10 people. And this was done in a very orchestrated way.
Oh, my God.
And then I was, after that, they locked me away for 7 years. And during that time, they convinced me that nothing ever happened, that I did it to myself and that they didn't do it to me and that I had, you know, that there are four fingers and not three.
And I imagine you had to convince them that you believed that to get out, right?
Well, it was a long time. I mean, they just, after that, my life was totally controlled. I mean...
All right, hold okay. tight right there. Now, before you get all out of control and say, oh, no, you know, they're measuring body gases or liquids or something like that, forget it. All of that was taken into account in this scientific study. Now, of course, you can't do that in the modern day. At least I don't think you can. It's politically incorrect, you know. Hey, you're dying. Hop up on that scale. Can't do that these days. Zeph, welcome back. Have you ever heard of that medical study?
Yes,
I
have, Art.
You have.
I think it's valid, and I believe the soul is a thing, and I believe that the soul, every soul, wants to emancipate to eternity, to where there is no death, to where there is no strife, to where there is peace, and the flesh, it seems, or the battle that we face is that to make things work like that in this life, to find peace, to find love, to find happiness, the flesh and the ego has to keep the soul in bondage in a way, you know, from emancipating in the spirit.
All right, you've said some things here, or I guess you said them. The human soul, which is what this farm called Earth is all about, it is a commodity, bought and sold on the intergalactic market.
I know that sounds. That's a big stretch from where we are. I'm glad.
Sounds like we're crude oil.
That's something that I had seen in the spirit and that I was shown in that early time after the overdose situation. I had seen. And just please bear with me. This is going to sound really crazy, you know, and it's not. The story doesn't change. But it seemed that this facility, and I won't even call it like a psychiatric hospital. I don't know what exactly. It was a hospital of some sort. But it seemed that what they were doing to the kid, most of the people there were, I was at that time 17 years old. And most of the people there were around my age, a little younger, maybe just slightly older. And what seemed to be happening to some of them, not all, but some of them, is that their souls, I don't know how this happened, but they were somehow extracted, and they had a whole different personality within seemingly overnight, but they weren't the same person. It was like their soul, their whoever they were, their essence, their you-ness, if you will, was taken out.
How do you know you just weren't observing the effect of drugs given to the patients?
Well, because I'd seen this over and over again, and with not all of them were drugged. I mean, this is like literally taking one person out of his body and switching it with something else, and that something else was a little bit more robotic, totally cooperative, and then released into the care of their parents or to the society or whatnot. And some of these people have gone on to do very well.
The spirit of a person can be scalped and then held in various high-tech devices, boxes?
Yeah, I was shown a box at that time.
A soul box.
If you will. And I did not see the soul go into the box, okay? But I understood that to be something, some kind of, you know, alien, if you will, device. And one more thing, then this is going to make me sound even more crazy, but I'm just going to lay it out as best I can. The people there, some of them, in my view, some of them were not human, okay? They were what I would call alien with a human form. And they were the ones orchestrating this. And of course,
that's a strong word, Zeph. Alien is a strong word to interject.
Yes.
And so do you mean it in the most literal sense?
In the most, well, put it this way, in the most literal sense in that we had seen beings that were not, you know, human. There are also ships.
You saw ships and you saw beings.
And it was connected, and this was all connected to the to this operation and to, to abductions and all that. That was all connected.
And we're going to get to abductions. I knew that they were connected to your story. In fact, you think you can explain abductions, right?
Well, I think that I can explain why, in some cases, when people want to get free of the abduction syndrome because they say, well, I didn't give permission to this. I'm a Christian.
Yes.
I pray the blood of Jesus on this situation, and I'm still being abducted. Why is that?
Well, that's a pretty good question, isn't it?
And
what's the answer?
The answer has to do with the soul, with a person that what is in their soul that is blocking them from God. There is like an occlusion, and that is something that a person can remove. In other words, you don't need to open your heart to the Lord. You need to be broken down by the Lord to be built back up the way He wants. And this abduction and other demonic oppression is sometimes will stay with a person even though they keep praying and going through deliverance after deliverance.
Well, I guess I want to understand how literal you intend to fling the word alien. Do you really mean alien as in alien life form from another planet, or do you mean alien as in something projected, which is really either a demonic or otherwise?
Well, let's call it demonic for now, and even though we understand that the demonic is a hierarchy that does also have, you know, they have vessels, they have, they can make beings, if you will. I don't consider them beings with souls exactly, but they
can create beings.
They have that ability.
They could create what we would regard as an alien being from another planet.
Yeah, but that other planet thing, again, the whole alien thing, in a lot of cases, is simply a cover story for the demonic oppression.
Yeah, I had a feeling that was your message.
I don't believe that.
Do you think it's all a cover?
I don't think it's all a cover. No, I believe it's a mix, and I believe it's very complex. And in some cases, it is purely demonic, and in other cases, there are vessels that are real. Go back to the Book of Enoch, and you probably are familiar with that, where the watchers, they call them,
yes,
the fallen angels,
yes,
asked Enoch to, you know, to talk to God on their behalf to see if they could get back in the good graces. I'm just paraphrasing. And the answer was strange. The answer was, do not pray for the watchers. Pray for men. And, you know, so they were put off. There was no definitive answer given to them. What I took from that was that, well, they're going to have their vessels. They're going to create what they're going to create. They will create their civilizations. They'll be allowed to do that. And they will have vessels. They will have beings.
You say something here that chills me a little. And when I hear things coming from different sources, it bothers me. You talk about the moon. And you talk about a base on the moon. And this has to do with souls, NDE experiences, the travel of souls and the moon. Is there, and a crystal city on the moon, right?
There's the crystal structure that I had been, I traveled to see it in the spirit, and I saw something there called the Council, and sometimes called the Council of Elohim, and they were the watchers over the earth, or at least that's what they thought.
Well, I had somebody recently tell me that there was a receiving station for souls on the moon. Now, is that something that resonates with you?
I had said that. I knew that in 1990 and had said it then, and I think I said it on an earlier show on Coast to Coast.
Uh-huh. Okay, then why have our astronauts not even seen a hint? I mean, they haven't at least admitted that they've seen a hint of anything untoward on the moon, not so much as anything.
No, I'm aware of that. And I haven't even really dwelled on it. I mean, that's just one experience that I had really relating in when I wrote that.
Well, I mean, it's an important question. We had men there, and they would have, should have seen, they orbited while they waited for their friends down on the surface, right? And they should have seen a crystal city. There should have been some transmission saying, Mission Control, we've got a crystal city under us at the moment, or something like that.
Well, perhaps it was not visible to them, and perhaps it was more of a spiritual vision than physical or a combination. You know, I don't know what they have seen, what they haven't seen. I know what I've seen, and I know that I haven't dwelt on that particular issue. I haven't been back in the spirit. It's just one experience that I have.
I know, but it's an important one because it resonates with something, well, John Lear said to me. He said there was a receiving station for right. souls on the moon.
Well, that's mind-blowing, because it confirms what I've been shown.
Yeah.
How can we prove it? It's one of those things that we can't prove. We can say it, but we can't prove it.
Well, but you've seen it. You know it's true.
I've seen it, and in my spirit, in my soul, you know, I know what I've seen. And yes, I believe it is true. I believe there is something to this tunnel of light business that NDE experiencers have.
See, there is something to it.
And I don't really think that it's all nice and good and beneficent and benevolent. And you know, you see your relatives, and they're all coming out in waves of love, and everyone's lovey-dovey, and it's all going to be a happy experience. I think it has something to do with getting permission, getting your free will, getting your consent to take the soul.
Listen, Zeph, I've got to ask what's going to probably seem like a rude question, but when you're talking about incredible things, and we are talking about incredible things here, it requires some understanding, and doing in my position, I've got to ask this question. I mean, you were admittedly involved in satanic ritual abuse as a youngster. You alluded to the fact that you were in some kind of facility. I guess a psychiatric facility, or am I? I'm just guessing, but it was that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's an obvious question. How can you be sure, Zeph, that what everything you're telling me right now that you experienced? You know, I can feel it. I can hear it in your voice that you understand. You believe it, but I mean, it's an obvious question. If you were in a psychiatric facility, how do you know that you weren't delusional? How do you know that you weren't observing in a delusional state other people that were in a delusional state getting medicated and so forth and so on, explaining a lot of what you've got here?
Well, I definitely was delusional back then. Yeah, not delusional, but definitely mind-controlled in the sense that there were certain, quote, doctors, unquote, on my case, which, you know, made me believe that nothing like any of these things that I've said that tonight had ever occurred.
Of course. And as I
and I believe I not only did I believe that I was delusional about the things that I had experienced. In other words, they had me turned around backwards for a good I don't know how many years. Anyway, when they released me, my life was like the Truman Show. I mean, everyone around me was appointed, was assigned to me. And then what they used me for, why they didn't just kill me, is they used me for things like, for spiritual things. And for, sometimes they would have me write down, you know, like an equation or ideas, things like that. And they would just take whatever I'd written and take it away. And other times they would bring me around people that were ill.
And who is they?
They, just people that were around me as a child, let's say.
I see.
Significant others, teachers, friends, family, other families.
All right, to get out of this facility, Zeph, I assume that you had to finally agree with them that everything you had experienced was delusional, and I'm better now. Otherwise, they don't let you out.
But I not only agreed with them, Art. I really, really believe that I was mistaken. In fact, the memory was even gone. I had no real memory of the trauma, the you know, things that I had seen. You know, there were people that had been killed, and all kinds of things. And I had no. I could not believe that that could be true. It just went against everything in my soul, everything that I.
Well, it's okay. So then, if you really felt that way at the moment of your release, you had been mind controlled to that point. Then, how do we get from there to where we are today, and what you are telling me is true and did happen and was real and is real?
Well, later on in my life, the programming. Obviously,
fell apart,
and at that time, there were a bunch of people that were coming around again, assigned to me to put the programming back, and they don't really care much if you go to the, you know, if you feel suicidal or go to the doctor or you know, tell them, you know, you need medication. Well, they don't mind that. What they mind is that the truth would come out. And that you would be conscious of the system around you, the society, of the people around you, and what they were all about. And as I said, I think they use people like us, those who have, I guess, are not them. They use us for certain spiritual things. And it's the only reason I can't think of another reason I'd be alive right now.
Well, you sound reasonable. You're saying fantastic things, you know, but you do sound pretty reasonable and not in a delusional state right now.
No, I'm not
sure.
I don't think so. Well, what happened is I had, I guess what you would call in the, you know, just a few years ago, like a total breakdown of everything. Everything flooded back. All the memories flooded back. I suddenly looked around and I saw people, and I understood that they were assigned to me, and I understood this whole thing was so bizarre. And I cried out to God then. That's how that began. And I just said, look, I know they want me to kill myself, and I know they're going to kill me, and I'm beyond even caring anymore. But God, if you're there, if you're, you know, real, would you help me?
And
he did. I felt this presence within me, you know, speaking to me, talking to me, and saying that I am your father. I'll never leave you nor forsake you, and you have been hurt. And he began to fill in all the blanks, and I would test the information with people that were in the know, and it was all true.
Zeph, how old are you now?
I'm 50.
And when did all of this dark period in your life end? How many years ago now?
Well, it would be in the year 2000 when in 1990 it broke, and then I was kind of put back together, and then in 2000 it finally completely collapsed. The idea that the world was the way I thought it was, and that the society I was born into is the way I thought it was, and the people around me were the way I thought they were, and they weren't assigned to it. You know, later I find out, I'm like, everyone around me is assigned to me, and I'm like, what is this?
Well, that wasn't very long ago, so you've only been out of this period of darkness for a relatively short time,
very
right?
Very short time.
Yeah. All right, Jeff. Listen, hold on. We're here at the top of the hour, so take a break. This is some pretty wild stuff, and this is one of those programs you can listen to and, you know, definitely make your own decisions about. By the way, Zeph Daniel's written a book called Lamb. Zeph, what is Lamb?
Lamb is about a lot of this, what I'm talking about tonight. It's about several different characters. It's also a prophetic story about, terrorism and earth changes, and lambs are, well, I've identified them as people that are not on the dark side at all. These are the people that belong to God and just don't go the way of the world. They're just God's own.
Mostly undecided voters.
Yeah, undecided or decided to be with him and not.
All right, Zeph, look, I've got to ask you this. I mean, with the history you just laid on us, ritual, satanic abuse, years in a psychiatric facility, it's obvious. I'm going to get messages, fast blast, saying, you know, the guy's crazy.
Everyone thinks I'm crazy like that because they're not. The ones that are listening, that are hearing what I'm saying in the spirit, who are spiritual people, they know that what I've been through, a lot of them have been through the same thing, unfortunately. And others that, hey, God bless everyone that if they think I'm crazy and they want to just write me off that way, I understand. If I were them, I'd probably think the same thing if I had their experience. They haven't had my experience.
Well, that's fair. They haven't had your experience. That's right.
I mean, you torture somebody, and, you know, things get pretty messed up.
I'm sure they do.
Ritual abuse of children is a problem in. And I told you the reason why it's done is there's a purpose to it. There's a clinical reason for it, and that's to dislodge the soul. This is tantamount to permission for the indwelling of a demonic entity that grows up as that person.
To and those people, Zeph, who are saying, you know, you're crazy, you're still crazy, you know, is there any way in your own mind or for us that you can make us understand that what happened to you is real, not a delusion, not craziness. For a lot of my life, Zeph, I thought that there probably are quite a few people in mental institutions that aren't crazy. They just seem crazy to us.
Oh, the things that... If you had time, well...
I have time. This is a long radio program.
Okay. Well, all right. First of all, thank you for... You know, being patient with me and, you know, through all what might sound pretty out there. And if people want to know more about me, the fast blasters out there that are saying crazy and all that, they want to indulge themselves, they can go to zephnet.com. And there's over 2,000 writings, I think something like that, 1,000 at least, maybe 1,500. I began these writings in the year 2002 in March, and it was my spiritual journey, healing journey, if you will. And they can follow that and look through the archives. There's about 100 and some odd hours of audio there. There's interviews I've conducted with others. They can look at all that and try to figure out if I'm crazy or not. They can get the book Lamb from Amazon.com, and there's a link on our links page. And they can see people who were mind-controlled that did military ops, people who were mind-controlled that they tried to mind-control and it didn't work, who have fought back in the spirit. They can see the earth changes and things that we predict are going to be happening, which indeed are beginning to happen now.
There's a lot that's happening right now.
And I was used throughout my life, Art, for, if you like, they used me for spiritual reasons, and one of those was to find out what I knew about what was going to happen in the future, or if I could I suppose when people cut themselves off from God, they want somebody who's still connected around, right?
So those around you thought you were...
They always called me the God mind.
You were touched, as it were, right? In other words, you had some insight that wasn't just pure hallucination and mental illness, but was very real, and so they were using you knowing that something real was going on with you. Is that right?
That's correct, and there were lots of confirmations along the way. And
well, like what?
Well, okay, this was just one example. There was you might call him a social worker I was mad at. And and I don't want to say that any kind of prophet plays a role in the fulfilled prophecy. I said, your house is going to be struck by lightning tonight.
Yes.
And it was.
And it was. Well, now
and
that.
And then after that, everyone sort of backed off.
I would be included in that bunch. You really?
And I
really?
But I don't feel like, I don't know how it happened.
Somehow that's on the record somewhere?
Well, it's not on a record that you could read. I suppose you could track him down. He told me at one point about this, and I can't go into a lot of the, you know, names and everything about
it. No, please don't.
Okay, because it would blow your mind totally. Uh-huh. And you can research me elsewhere for that. And I don't do a lot of I hate dropping names anyway. I don't hate people. You know, I don't want.
Thank you. Don't drop names.
No. Okay. So, but in this place, that social worker later on, when we were just both two sovereign individuals talking to each other, he said he felt very guilty of the part he played in my life and others, because he said he knew we weren't crazy. He knew we didn't belong there. He knew why we were there. He was just the whole thing was a sham.
My God.
In other words, he was covering for the Satanists. And that's why he kept telling me over and over, and they kept pounding me to repeat this story, that there was no such thing as anything I had ever seen.
This incident that you caused...
I don't think I caused it.
Did you cause it, or did you simply observe the immediate future? Was it a precognitive thing, or don't you worry a little bit, Zeph, that you caused it?
Well, there's been a lot of things similar to that, and also positive things that I don't think I consciously sat there, like, say, like a witch might do, and like, you know, take a voodoo doll or do a ritual to get something to happen. I didn't do that. It was like it was just this quick, I don't know, almost spiritual indignation. It was just, this is going to happen, and it did. And
sounds a little Carrie-ish, you know. I mean,
it did. Yeah, that does come to mind. Well, there was a person that was obviously totally abused and picked on by these awful bullies, and then, you know, but she had spiritual gifts.
Well, right.
And those came, you know, came to bear.
Well, I see a little parallel there, don't you? Possibly.
It could be, but I've also had, it's strange, I have been, had kind of a healing gift on people as well, and I'm not...
I'll
be talking to somebody about something totally unrelated.
Yes.
And their life would change, and I know that in the spirit, something was going on. I was being used. Everything that happens, I like to think, is God's will, ultimately, and that we are used to effect His will. And our ego likes to think it's in charge, but I think God's in charge, ultimately.
But how do you know that was God? I mean, usually when you're petitioning for a lightning bolt to, you know, hit somebody...
Well, I was mad at the time.
I understand, but yeah. I mean, you just wouldn't think God would be pleased being... You know, asked for, you know, the lightning bolt.
It was so quick, though, Art. It was like...
So are you sure it came from God?
I don't think it came from... I don't know.
Ah, ha, ha, ha.
I just can't say that I did it.
I'd be very concerned, though. I mean, all right. In that moment, I am interested to know, in that moment when you realized that a lightning bolt was going to hit his house... Now, let me think about this. Did it just come to you that that was going to happen, or you did admit you were angry?
I was angry, and I blurted it out, and I saw it as I was blurting it.
Oh, see, now that really sounds like you did that, or you lined yourself.
It's a fine line there, Art. You know, I mean, but it's anyway. The fact of the matter,
you weren't screwing with the clouds behind my house earlier.
No. Anyway, that was just one kind of incident.
Maybe you know something about, I mean, you obviously tell me you know something about the nature of the soul. I've always been curious about reincarnation, Zeph. Are souls recycled?
What I have to say about time and eternity and the soul is the soul is eternal, and reincarnation is too simplistic for what I've seen regarding the soul and regarding what's possible with incarnations, if you will. It would go again. It would sound like another bizarre story, but what I've seen is that people actually, souls have the capacity to multiply incarnate. In other words, you could be in five different time zones at once and be conscious, say, of one. And some souls go to and fro from eternity, and they're here, and then they're also in eternity, if you will. And they're not conscious of that life in eternity. They're conscious of being here, but they're also conscious of being eternal. And they can incarnate anywhere along the timeline. The timeline, there is no time, so everything that has ever happened or will happen is all concurrent. And so as souls advance, you know, there are things that are so mind-boggling. The soul is made in the image and likeness of God himself.
So you're I guess you're saying there is not in reincarnation.
Well, it's just the word re. It's if you just say incarnation and the possibilities of that soul going to and fro from eternity or being in different timelines, like a soul could be, you know, in various incarnations at the same time.
So reincarnation as in a singular event is too simplistic to describe what happens.
Yes, well, it just, you know, different people look at it different ways. In the West, we have this idea of reincarnation as being something desirable, you know, like you're going to live on into another life, don't worry about it.
Yes.
In the East, they want to get out of it. In other words, the idea of being born over and over to suffer and die, they don't like, you know, it's get all. How do you get off that wheel
right.
of reincarnation? So right. we have two different views of it.
Supposed to achieve perfection, I think.
And yes, and souls are about it. The whole point of the soul and the learning and the emancipation of the soul is to learn to get to that point of eternity, to get free of death and suffering and hatred and all those things that bind us, that imprison us.
Well, it sounds like there's a real dangerous path for the soul to potentially follow. I mean, with scalpers along the way who could toss you into a box.
But then there has to be permission for that. In other words, somewhere in that person's life, in that person's soul,
yes,
there must be some kind of a permission, like, say, for the abduction scenario. You may pray overtly about it, and you're still being abducted. Why is that? We know so many cases like that, you know, for example, that... So it's undeniable that people have prayed and not been delivered from that kind of affliction. Some of that abduction stuff is just demonic. And
how much of it do you think is demonic, Zeph?
I think a good part of it is demonic. In other words, it occurs in dreams. It occurs like, for example, you've heard of astral
projection.
Like astral projection, astral travel. Well, it's yep. more of an astral experience. And then some is literal, where there's literal hybridization. I know people... that have been impregnated, you know, over and over, and the fetus taken out at 3 months. That story that we've heard, I know people that have gone through that and been free of it for a while and then been brought back in. And let's look at the soul of that person. Okay, so what is that soul needing? Why is that happening to that soul? It seems to me, this is my opinion, that every soul receives in this life, in any life, what it needs to emancipate. So, for example, let's say you get a lot of bad treatment in life.
Mm-hmm.
Over and over, the same pattern happens. You know, you get the same kind of rejection or the same kind of thing that happens. What is it the soul is needing? Is it needing for you to break your hatred of something? Is there something you're holding on to, a resentment that's somehow causing that pattern to occur again and again until you let go, until you forgive, until you love, until you will get beyond that, that pattern will continue. Why can't we just pray and have that pattern go away? Why does it have to repeat? And I believe it's because the soul needs that to finally break the person of something. It may not be related exactly to that, say, rejection. In order for that soul to then be released to the next thing, to the next level. And so, therefore, each person is on a different level spiritually. You know, each soul is on a different level of learning. And what has to happen is that person must take responsibility, first of all, for their lives, for what happens to them. In my case, I've got to take responsibility for being born into an abusive situation, having been hurt. I can't blame other people. I must understand at the soul level why I needed it, or my soul needed it for some reason. Why? And you know, and that's my field of inquiry. That's what I have to be about in order to get beyond it, to get free, to get healed. We know
you don't think you're just saying that to yourself to comfort yourself, do you? That my soul had to go through this ritual abuse, this horrible abuse I went through.
Well, I did that for a number of years. I blamed and blamed and blamed. And I was mad and angry that I was being abused like anyone would be. And
of course.
And, you know, it didn't seem to do any good. And it just, after I don't know how many years of similar treatment and, you know, similar things popping up elsewhere with people unrelated to the earlier situation, I'm going, well, now here's a repeating pattern.
Mm-hmm.
Now, am I doing something to bring that about? Is there something in my behavior that's bringing about a repeating pattern? If so, then I've got to eradicate it. Well, it wasn't behavior. It had something to do with a deep level of forgiveness in the soul. First of all, forgiving the parents, let's say,
mm-hmm.
and forgiving God, because I found out I harbored a deep, deep hatred of God. Because how could he do that to me?
Yes,
and
now you don't hate him because you have realized...
Well, when I find... See, it's a really strange thing. It's almost... As soon as I got to that point of understanding, it had to be a deep understanding and a forgiveness and a letting go.
Yes.
All those things stopped happening.
Huh. Zeph, hold tight. We're going to go to the phones pretty quickly with Zeph Daniel. And I'm going to let you ask questions. He's a very interesting man in a whole lot of different ways. And I suppose the initial thing is, well, he's crazy. Well, you know what? Listen more carefully. Maybe he's not. We're about to go to the telephones with Zeph Daniel, whose book, he's written a book called Lamb. And we're discussing, I guess, the human soul, mostly. And Zeph, I've got a couple things I would like to ask, if you don't mind, before we do that, before we go to the phones, which should be extremely interesting. NDEs, when a person, you know, I've interviewed many, many people over the years, Zeph, who have had NDEs, and they do all describe just about the same thing, the tunnel, the light, the relatives, the whole Megillah. It comes so frequently, and it's so similar that it's hard not to believe when you get the collective evidence together. And I've really talked to experts about this, Zeph. I mean, psychologists and people who have done a lot of hypnosis. I mean, they've really done serious clinical work, and they believe in it. But what do you think is really happening when a person is experiencing the so-called near death? What's happening, really?
Well, the only thing I can tell you about that tunnel of light is that I have been, again, this is in the spirit, for many years, warned, don't go into that light. And so...
Have you been listening to a lot of John Lear?
No.
All right, well, look, John told me, as you, I think you know...
This is strange.
John Lear told me that Whitley Strieber told him, if I have it straight, and I hope I do this time, that you don't go to the light, you go to the darkness. The light is a trick. Now,
right.
That plagues me that was said to me, and you're going to sit here and tell me that's right, aren't you?
Not only that, but... I had said this in in 1990 and 1992.
You did?
And
is there any record of that?
There's no record. I'm just saying I'm very happy to have this kind of confirmation that I'm not the only one that thought that. And
Any idea how that screws up the average Christian kind of person, even if you're not a Christian? Do you understand how badly that messes with our minds?
I am a Christian.
We all know the light is good. We all know the darkness is bad. I mean, most Christians do. So go to the light, go to the light.
Well, I'm a gospel-believing, Jesus-loving Christian.
And you'd go to the dark.
And I would go to the dark.
Oh, man.
But that I have known about that since 1990.
Well, then what do we have up, or I guess I should say down there? I mean, these poor lambs, to grab the title of your book, who walk into the light and then off the cliff into the pits of burning sewage.
I don't know what's going to happen to them. All I know is, for me personally, it's don't go in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I know other people would succumb. Now, here's what I think is going on there.
Listen.
It's the idea of getting, again, permission. Permission, free will, very important. Free will and permission. So getting this sort of permit. Now, when a soul is taken in that way, say permission is given, and that soul goes on a journey through the light, and they're going to go somewhere else, let's say. Let's say they wind up being traded or used in a hybrid or who knows, any number of things, or they wind up back on Earth, or they who knows where they're going to go.
Yes.
It's not over yet for that soul, right? The soul is eternal. So let's look at the light as maybe a mistake or maybe a limitation rather than
absolutely final decision.
Right. Okay, and that's very important, because I really don't believe that that's the end-all and be-all mistake. That's it, you're in hell. I don't believe that if a person goes into the light, that's it. I don't believe that. I'm just saying, for me, where my
They might spend a little time as a pig.
But who knows where they're going to go? But for my particular soul track, it's not there. I have a real intense need to go to eternity, so that's where I want to go. I don't want to go into more various incarnations or various whatever it is out there that the soul will continue to go through. So that's been my instruction.
Zef, what if you're wrong?
Well, I wouldn't be wrong for me, but maybe this information would be wrong for someone else's soul. Maybe someone else's soul needs to go through that. I can understand that. Each soul is different. Each soul is on a different track, and what's right for me may not be right for you or someone else. So,
well, yeah, but it sounds like a sort of an absolute knowledge. The darkness is the place to go, not the light.
It's perfectly backwards.
Perfectly backwards, and somehow, I don't know. Ever since I've heard this, it's bugged the you know what out of me, because it was always an easy choice before. God is up there with the light. The devil and the burning pits are down there in the darkness.
But see, the things on Earth, for example, the things of the devil look really godly.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they got a sheen to them.
But
beautiful.
But you wouldn't think that God would engage at that critical juncture in a person's life / death in, you know.
Right.
Boy, did you take the wrong turn kind of joke on souls.
And is that soul harboring, or is lodged in that soul some sort of resentment toward God? And is there more suffering?
Well, the minute you head into the darkness and it was wrong, you'd be resentful as all hell.
I just don't think there's a mistake in that situation. I think that the other, wherever that confirmation of what I had seen came from, maybe that's where their soul track is leading, where mine is. So we have a confirmation, and perhaps a lot of people won't agree, and they want to go to that light, and they want that love from their relatives. Wouldn't it be logical that we would want the love and the connection and the spiritual blessing of being connected in an eternal state and in a spiritual state with our lost loved ones, to know that it's
just
not over?
Some of them, yes. Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway, for some of us, we're not going that way. That's all, and people are going to make their own decisions. And
all right. Well,
I just don't think there's a mistake necessarily. But if you know the knowledge, if this rings true in your spirit, and then you go against what you know. If this makes sense to you, what I'm saying, to go to the dark in that particular situation, then you violate that and go to the light and, you know, suffer. Well, you know, you knew better. And then you went against what you knew.
All right. God, that's incredible. All right. Soul travel, the ability to travel in with your soul outside the body, astral travel. I also have interviewed endless numbers of really good people on this subject, and they claim absolutely soul travel, astral travel is real. And you agree with that. It's real, right?
Well, there's,
or not.
There, I agree in that there's travel in this, but there's two methods of this. One is self-willed travel. That is, let's say you want to be a sorcerer and you want to go from point A to point B doing your will.
Yes.
Okay, that's one thing. That's astral travel. But when you're talking about, say, being a servant of God and going in the spirit where he takes you, then that's soul travel. Or spirit travel, traveling in the spirit. For example, when John traveled through time to view Revelation, let's say when he was writing down the book of Revelation, he traveled in the spirit. And then he wrote down what he saw in the past tense, because he had seen it, so he traveled. A good friend of mine traveled to this this Dulce base at the will of the Lord to dislodge the souls, in other words, to liberate the souls from, he said there were thousands of people kept captive down there.
At Dulce?
At Dulce.
Our government? Or
I don't know.
Aliens or representatives of the dark side, more likely, I guess you would think?
That's a subject of inquiry now. That's a service that we're doing with Dulce. And he ministered in the spirit to those souls to leave those bodies that they have, you know, locked up in cages and some experiments. And he said some were used as food for these hybrid or alien beings. And,
what? That wait a minute. That we fed human souls to aliens?
Not human souls, but that the...
Human bodies?
The experiments that were done, let's say, I said, well, what happens when they're done with an experiment? Say,
yes.
Do a genetic experiment on a human body, and you make some abomination. What do they do with it?
Yes.
They grind it up for food, and they eat it.
Oh.
So anyway, I said, "Well, so what did you do?" He said he went there and preached to them about God and about the liberation, and they all left. And I said, "Well, then they left husks down there. So what does that mean?
Husks?
Are there just a bunch of husks?" Down in Dulce, they're not actually
right.
People with souls anymore.
Empty containers.
Empty containers now, and that was the work that we've been doing. And I had been involved in something similar to that earlier. Anyway,
are you aware of whether our government is intermixed and mingled in all of this in some way?
Well, you can't say who's the government. I mean, you have the government you see on TV. I doubt they're down there, right? Then you have this so-called shadow government.
Yes.
And people say that, there are certain military wing, factions of the military and other things. We've had testimony from people who had been in a shootout down there with...
So you're not blaming all this on George Bush, right?
No.
All right.
No, we pray
so
for
this
George
would only be the shadow government.
I just, if you're caught up in that whole thing, boy, that's a conundrum. That again, you're in a spiritual position of evil, and who knows where all that's going to lead, and what is involved with this Dulce thing. I was given a prophecy about this. About someone was talking about an alien invasion or a fake rapture with
yes.
the aliens
yes.
coming up, and I was shown just 2 days ago a vision of how. Of an invasion, but it was an internal invasion. It would begin in dreams. People would start having dreams now of these beings. And they would have dream abductions and dream experiences. And those could be very harsh with these entities because...
Only you're saying these really aren't dreams. These really are abductions.
No, they're dreams. But the purpose of the invasion coming in dreams first is to get permission from people to be taken.
That old free will thing.
Right. And so now they're going to start, this oppression is going to be terrible. It's involving perhaps half the planet, and many people are going to start having these collective alien dreams of, and they could also be couched in other terms. In other words, it doesn't have to be like aliens with bug eyes and ships and all that.
And all of this just hit you 2 days ago.
This was, well, there's a lot to this, Art. I think that one of my my purpose at this point is to fight this whole thing in the spirit, and I'm a spiritual warrior, so I fight that particular aspect of human oppression, which is the, and I put in big quotes, the alien situation,
mm-hmm.
because it's a quite a mystery. But in the spirit, it's no mystery. It's the oppression and enslaving of human beings, and I'm very against that. So we fight that. Anyway, prophetically, I'm warning people that if you start having these kinds of dreams, seek God, and seek Him in this way. Don't just say, oh, please fix this. I'm having nightmares,
mm-hmm.
you know, or precursors of more horrible things to come. You know, maybe I've been going the wrong way in life, but Father, could you just carry me along or just show me something? I'm going to lay myself open to you, you know, submit, give up, you know, lay back. Don't engage your will, but ask in earnest to be helped with this. Because
that's the only way it's going to stop.
If you want to put God in a box and ask Him questions based on answers you want to get, nothing's going to happen there. It's going
right.
to be, God's not going to be put in a box, and He may not deal with you the way you want to be dealt with.
All right, Zeph. I have no way of knowing what awaits you on these blinking lines in front of me. Could be anything, Zeph.
It could be. Well, I'm ready for anything, Art.
Well, you need to be. And here it comes. First time caller line, you're on the air with Zeph Daniel. Hello.
Hey, good evening. Thank you, and God bless both of you guys.
God bless you.
Thank you.
You know, I got a question for you, Zeph. You know, I've been listening to what you've been saying. While I was driving down the interstate, I was cutting in and out. But I did catch a lot on what you were saying about your dreams as far as your psychic will. I know that's definitely the wrong term. But, you know, I have definitely had dreams. Earthquakes in China, planes going down in Nova Scotia, things of that nature 2 and 3 days before these things are happening.
Wow.
Now,
have
to get to the point here.
Have you warned people?
Have you warned people?
No, because for so long in my life I'd had these types of dreams that I'd been told as a young child, discount them, it's the devil, it's nothing, don't worry about it, you're just seeing things. Been told I was crazy quite a bit. No,
you've been told, you, well, hey, this is a good call, Art.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, I walk around, I've got a wife, I've got kids, I've got a family, I have a job, you know.
And by the way, Zeph is married too, right, Zeph?
Yes.
And your wife sounded quite nice. She called earlier to confirm the telephone connection, and I thought she sounded quite nice. What does she think about all this, Zeph?
Well, we've been together since 1992, and so she's been a witness to the whole process that I've gone through. And
has she confirmed any of this for you?
Yes, absolutely. She just told me on one of the breaks, she said, you know, not just you, but she's seen the ships. She's seen Reptoids.
Hey, you know what, Zeph? Caller, can you hang on a minute?
Sure thing.
All right, I'm going to put you back on hold. Hey, Zeph.
Yeah.
Oh, darn it. I think I've got him. Zeph, put your wife on.
Okay. Hold on a sec, Art.
All right. Seems a reasonable thing to do now, doesn't it? I don't know why. She lives with him, and, I mean, a lot of this is very, very, very fantastic stuff, but then, on the other hand, his delivery is quite cogent.
Hello?
Hi there.
Hi, Art.
What is your first name?
Patricia.
Patricia, you know,
more people call me Trish these days.
Okay, Trish, off, then we'll make it Trish.
Okay.
Trish, listen, a lot of what your husband says is pretty out there for a lot of people. On the other hand, it's very cogent, as I just observed before you got on the line.
Ah.
And you've lived with your husband now since, what, 92, was it?
Let's see. Oh, what year is this? 2004?
Yeah, I think.
92 we got together.
All right.
Yes.
So, a long time.
Yes.
How can you confirm what Zeph is saying. I mean, have you observed anything that really strongly leads you to believe that what Zeph is saying is dead on?
Yes, absolutely.
You've seen ships?
Oh, yes, and even before I met him. But the most awesome thing was that night when he surrendered, you know, to God.
Yes.
And that was such an awesome thing. I mean, it was a complete change for both of our lives because, you know, we'd always known God, but we never really knew him like we did then. And he's the one that, you know, filled in the blanks and, you know, taught us what was going on. And, you know, I wanted to say that during the time when a lot of the programming was unraveling for Zeph, when he was starting to come out of denial and start to heal, you were a great input right there, because a lot of the stuff, the weird stuff that had gone on in our lives, you know, such as, you know, quote-unquote aliens or whatever, demonic this and that,
you've seen
was being talked about on your show.
Have you seen these aliens?
I have seen some weird stuff.
All right. I'm going to come back to you for a minute when we get back from the break. So you hold on to the phone and let Zeph relax for a few minutes,
okay.
All right?
Okay.
All right, good. Zeph and his wife are my guests at the moment. I'm Art Bell. This is Coast to Coast AM. To be sure, a lot of what Zeph Daniel says is pretty wild stuff. I mean, it's absolutely out there. There's no question about it. And his wife is on the line. I couldn't resist. She's willing. Bless your heart for doing it. I mean, what have you seen that would tend to confirm? You said you've seen ships, you've seen aliens. What can you describe to me that you've seen that validates all of this, and how did it happen?
Well, Art, it's lovely talking to you. I guess what I've seen mostly is I've gone through a period of, well, close to 15 years now with Zeph, and I'm really grateful that Yahweh, our Creator, has given me him as my husband and my soulmate, because I guess in my own soul track, I needed to hook up with him and be a blessing to him, and him be a blessing to me.
Soulmates, it's called. I've got that. But what has confirmed for you the things that he's telling me tonight? I mean, you've been there listening.
Well, like, for instance, what specifically would you
I don't know. You said
I can confirm the tunnel thing. Yeah, I remember we were living in Laguna Niguel at the time, and he was just on a rampage. He was like, you know, whatever you do, don't fall for that one. And then shortly after that, the John Lear.
You're talking about the light in the darkness?
Yeah. Like going into the tunnel thing.
Yeah. Yep.
And at the time, I was like, I don't even really know what you're talking about. And then, but in the spirit, I did. And I was like, oh, that's a warning. And a strange thing happened when my own father passed away.
Oh.
My last conversation with him on the phone. I was living in Malibu, California, we were at the time. And he's in Alaska, right?
Yes.
Dying. And he says, and I'm like, oh, upset because I'm not there to help. Or
of
I
course.
Feel like I should be doing something. And
of course.
I can't get away because we're in the middle of this film thing. And he says, it's okay, honey. Everything's going to be all right. He goes, don't trust the aliens. This is my dad, you know, like Mr. Straight. And I'm like, okay, Dad, I know. I never have trusted him, you know. And my first sighting of a weird flying saucer type thing, I guess, was when I was 14 in Alaska. You know, that happened. I've seen other things. I've seen interdimensional beings. I've seen winged demons. I've seen all kinds of weird stuff. But I can tell you one thing. Zeph is a healer, and I knew that when I first met him, and now more and more I've seen that come to pass with a lot of people being blessed by what he does. He could read the phone book to somebody, and you know, something will happen.
All right. Listen, I want to thank you for coming on the phone. Go ahead and hand it.
Well, it's great to talk to you, Art.
Good
you know?
To talk to you. And go ahead and hand it back to your husband,
okay.
And thank you for coming on. So,
thank you, and God bless you.
You as well. All right. Back now to Zeph.
Yes, Art, I'm back.
Okay. Well, that was interesting, certainly, to hear. And now, you know, you're going to leave me the way John Lear did, now even more in doubt about all this for the rest of my life, and then I don't know what.
So you're healed of this.
I don't know what I am. Anyway, listen, I've had this caller on hold. I'm bringing him back now because I don't think we were done. Caller, you're back on.
Thank you very much. Thanks for bringing me back on, guys. The point I was trying to get to and the question that I have specifically, you know, most of the visions and the dreams that I have, because these all come to me just as dream states, just hitting that good deep sleep, or usually coming right out. Why am I getting a lot of these lately, specifically related to brothers, sisters? The last one I had in particular was I saw a specific sight situation inside a vehicle where she was having an affair. Why am I seeing these sorts of things, and why do they come to me, and what is this curse, or is it a gift?
And all of these dreams are true. In other words, manifest themselves in real life, right?
They're materializing, exactly.
Well, that must have been a troubling last one you had. Zeph, all right, well, you said there would be a lot of dreams beginning, right?
That's right, and that's also biblical about this time we're in, and the dreams mean that he's being called to service. He's being called to warn people. He's being called to let others know, to not keep this bottled up, but to the more that you use this gift to warn and to help people, the more you'll actually, maybe this is a curse in a sense, but the more you'll be given. So,
all right. I have a friend, a very close friend of mine, Zeph, a fellow named Daniel Brinkley. And he was struck by lightning. And because of that lightning strike, he gained a power that over the years has begun to fade. But when it was at its peak, which was immediately following the trauma, when he was recovered enough to begin experiencing the things that he experienced, I know for a fact that he had powers. He could visualize things. He could write down. If you had an enemy, he could draw a picture of the enemy's house and car and that person. And oh my God, Daniel was really one strange cat for quite a while. And that was a trauma, the trauma of a lightning bolt being virtually electrocuted, fried alive.
Well, he was. And when you see in the spirit, you see ahead of what comes in the flesh, in the physical.
Your trauma was early in life and ritualistic abuse.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, just to give an example of what happens to people, a lot of them dissociate, and you've heard of MPD, multiple personalities.
Oh, yes.
And then, of course, they'll try to use those and program those alters to produce what they want. The one thing you can say about, now this is highly organized, bloodline elite, over generation Satanism. It's not something you read about on the internet. You'll never see anything about this on the net. Okay, this is, you know, this is.
How long you been a listener, Zeph?
Well, I listened to you in the early '90s, and then it's been on and off.
Have you listened through the years that I interviewed Father Malachi Martin?
You know, I listened very briefly once in a while, but I'll tell you one interview you did with him that stuck, because I understood this, and I also understand, I know of him and his work. But when he talked about the possession and the perfectly possessed people.
Yes, exactly.
He used that term, perfectly possessed.
He simply said that these people were ordinary people that you would pass and will pass in the street every single day, who have made a deal with the devil. They've just simply made a quiet, comfortable deal with the devil. And as a result of that quiet, comfortable deal, they're perfectly possessed. He said, I know them when I pass them on the street.
Well, you know them from the death, because you feel the death. You feel the cold death. There's no light. They're, you know, they have to. Now, what these people have to do once you've done that is you must, you know, you must get power from external. So, you know, you do things to get power. You know, you might get close to someone who hasn't made that deal and siphon off a little of their life force, if you will, and you are given the power to do that, like a vampire, like a psychic vampire.
Yes.
And they'll do that to keep that light, to keep from fading out. But they're very that's the curse that happens. You make that deal with the devil, and you become dead in a sense, and you have to start feeding. And feeding is any number of things, but that's the curse. That's why I feel sorry for them.
And this is not a deal that has to be made, according to Father Martin, by the horned one appearing before you. This is simply something you only have to think and agree to. And you
consent, yes.
And you agree with that?
I agree that consent, free will, is the key.
Yeah. Well,
if you decide right now, I mean, I could decide right now that I'm going to consent, and I'll bet you anything that I would see a whole bunch of sudden magical blessings occur. That, for example, I might find a check in the mailbox, or an opportunity, a door opens to publish millions of copies of books or whatever. Something like that would happen to confirm my quiet consent. And then I would go open that door, and I'd go through that door, and I'd go down that path, and I'd meet other people, and pretty soon, and all of a sudden, and down the road a little ways, and I'm really in it then, you see, because once I'm down that far, and I've taken the money, and I've taken the deal, and I've taken the stuff, now let's say suddenly I made a mistake.
Too late.
How am I going to get out of it? I guess I could pay with my life. I could say, let them kill me, and that would be my penance for what I did. But I don't know.
All right. Look, back to the lines. Wildcard line, you're on the air with Zeph Daniel. Hello.
Zeph, thank you so much for all the validation, and I want to praise you for being brave enough to come on and speak of such things.
Praise the Lord, because I don't have any.
Yeah, I understand that. I've had an interesting path myself, but the thing that I'm interested in finding out from you is what things do you do or have you done to discern God's will? I know I've done things like open the Bible at random and have the answers there. I've used a coin to flip before. Some people use a pendulum. I'm just curious as to what means.
That's interesting. All right. Let's ask. In other words, when you ask for a sign, God, give me a sign, something.
Well, a good way of phrasing that would be, how do you know it's not the devil tricking you, you know, and how do you know it's God?
Okay, that's a good question, yes.
You know, and one, the very best way I know is to get quiet time alone where I can say, and just ask the question, just like I'd be talking on the phone here. That's, you know, in prayer. People say it's in prayer, but I think we need to do more than just pray once in a while. You need to be in a relationship. And, you know, you're going, well, God, is that you or is that something else? Is that my own ego? Is that, you know, a demon? Is that you? And you kind of stumble along. I think we all stumble and we all struggle with this. And sometimes we are deceived and then we learn a lesson. Oftentimes when we make a mistake and we say, oh, that's God's will, it was really my will, you stumble, you fall, and then you get back up, and then you dust yourself off, and you say, hey, I learned something there. And maybe that lesson sticks and you don't do it again. You know, there's no guarantee we're not going to have pain, and we're not going to make mistakes. We're going to make mistakes, and every time we make a mistake, I guess ultimately, you know, if the soul keeps progressing, it would always be God's will in the end. But in terms of that kind of discernment, that has to come in time. That's why they call wise men, because they are better at that discernment. And foolish men are foolish men.
If you should accidentally, I guess, walk into a traditional church and the preacher's up there saying, come to God's light, do you stand up and shout, no?
Well, you're not talking about that tunnel after death.
But the light, the darkness.
Well, if he says, come to the light, you know, the light is Christ. And,
but I mean, doesn't that set up the trickery?
Light.
God. Association, right? God.
We do know this. This is kind of, you know, tricky territory, if you will, that Lucifer appears as often as an angel of light. A lot of the things of the devil are beautiful, and they look godly, and you go, whoa, you know, it can impress you that way. And at the same time, he also appears as the, you know, the angel of darkness and
mm-hmm.
evil.
Mm.
But he goes everywhere on that continuum. He's everywhere, and he's good and bad, but in relative earthly terms rather than ultimate objective absolute terms.
Hey, Zeph, is life a circle or a straight line? No, don't answer that. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Zeph Daniel. Hello.
Hi. Art, how you doing?
I'm fine.
Okay. First off, I just want to make a short statement. Zeph is absolutely correct. I know where you're at with this. I've been going through this all my life.
Man, you're batting 1,000 here, Zeph.
And the thing is that this material world is just a material world. It is the spiritual or soul that he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
That is
yeah.
what's real.
Yeah, okay.
Turn
your
radio off.
Wait.
Okay.
Wait. Turn your radio off.
Okay. Yeah. I'll turn it off.
The first rule. First rule of Talktum is turn off your radio.
There it is. It's off.
All right, good.
Okay. The question I wanted to ask him is because he was talking about dreams and stuff, and I just wanted to ask him, have you had the dream with the fire raining down out of the sky?
I have had that dream before, but not recently.
Okay. You mentioned the moon and this thing that was on the moon. It was shown to me that the moon was hollow. And so whatever it is that you were saying that you were shown in the spirit, I don't think it's on the surface. I think it's hollow.
Did you know that that NASA actually did some experiments with detonations of some sort on the moon and got all this ringing that was really weird that they couldn't explain?
Are you serious?
Oh, I'm always serious about this sort of thing. Yes, they got a ringing they could not explain.
Oh, my God. And I was told in this dream, because I was shown the moon and I was shown two halves of it. Now, I don't know what this means, but I was told in the dream that the moon is split up in equal lateral eclipses, whatever that means.
All right, well, dream stuff again. So more people with the dreams. Well,
yeah, the dreams. Jeff,
everybody dreams.
Right, but
all right, we all dream. We know that. So how do we separate the dreams from the kind of dreams you were talking about?
Well, this kind of dream is it. First of all, it will reveal itself as something completely other than any other kind of dream. In other words, it will seem, you know how sometimes you'll have a dream that seems very real, even more real than life.
You're sort of saying you'll know it when you have it.
You'll know it when you have it. I remember this one incident. I might as well relate this very quickly if I could. It's
you can.
Okay, there is a, when I was together with my wife in 1992, I was going through an awakening then. That got stopped, but here's what happened. Okay, one of these little beings, a small gray, if you will, its head at exactly the size, the height of the doorknob, appeared. Now, there were also UFO sightings over the house, and there was a battle going on in the spirit, and we were fighting back and forth, and I felt they were trying to get me. Well, anyway, he shows up in the room, black eyes, the whole bit, and there was like a little light behind the eyes that was moving, and immediately thereafter, I blacked out, and I went into a dream state where I was being dragged across this hotel motel, a seedy motel room, as if I was going to be dragged out the door.
Yes.
And I grabbed onto something and wrenched myself awake, and I was deathly afraid. I couldn't even get out of the bed, and because that being was there, and I realized that the dream I had was them. But they were like two thugs carrying me across a motel room. That's how it was masked. That's how it came forth. And that was an alien dream.
Sounds like it.
And it was wholly other, completely other than anything dreamt before by me. And then that experience triggered the memory of the satanic ritual with children.
That's when it all came flooding in.
I had it triggered me right then, And then I went to a healer for help. He scared me. And there I went to another person for help, and they wanted to lock me up. Because you see, in other words, what did that person that wanted to lock me up, who appeared as this woman therapist who wanted to, you know, a psychologist who said, well, we'll lock you up for 3 days in a seclusion,
mm-hmm.
and then you'll get through it, and we'll help you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, what are you talking about?
It's a 72-hour hold, they call it.
Well, and that was her suggestion
Zep, hold on for a moment. Not 72 hours, but just a very few less, and we'll be right back. I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Once again, Zef Daniel. Zef, I received a plea on the computer here that the person is lost and they don't know about Dulcy, and they didn't know what you were referring to. Explain Dulcy.
Dulcy is a rumored, purported underground military alien base in Dulcy, New Mexico, which is right near the Colorado border, and supposedly it's on the Archuleta Mesa, which is about 2.5 miles from Dulcy's. Really, just a, you know, like a general store and a gas station is all it is.
But underground.
And it's underground, and we've been dealing with it in the spirit, put it that way. And there's more than one of us. It's a project that I've gotten involved in, and there's one person that you might call a remote spiritual, and several remote viewer, let's say, he goes there in the spirit. And that also happens with me. He's going there to liberate those souls from the bodies that are being tortured.
That's why I asked you about government involvement and knowledge.
I have what I know is this. I know something from a man that is no longer with us named Phil Schneider, who gave testimony about Dulcy and underground installations. So, and he's spoken to the UFO community, quote unquote, and that's available on the internet. And I know just what other people have read. I have viewed it in the spirit.
Right.
And I also have myself interviewed. I know a person that does remote viewing who finds missing persons and is involved in murder cases and remote views. She is now focusing on Dulcy for the first time, changing her method, in other words, on missing person, and this is the first time she's being led to do that. So
maybe a lot of them are at Dulcy.
There's three of us. Well, from what I heard yesterday from my Native American friend, we're looking at, he said, thousands of victims. And so that's the kind of thing that we do in terms of, I guess, we would go to a place like that in the spirit and minister to them, because you can do that, and liberate those souls, because the Father will take those souls out of those vessels. This has been known to happen when there was Christian persecution in the olden times, how the martyrs would die with smiles on their faces because their souls would be taken. They would be gone at the moment of extreme torture. They would be dislodged and taken home. And it was so uncanny that it blew the minds of all the torturers and executioners, so much so that many of them converted and became Christians.
All right. Here we go now. There's a lot of people here. East of the Rockies, okay. You're on the air with Zef Daniel. Hi.
Hi. How are you?
I'm all right. Where are you?
I am in New Hampshire.
All the way up in New Hampshire. Okay.
I'm kind of a new listener to your program, and I caught most of the conversation tonight, and I have background as a Wiccan priestess, and I had strange situations happen to me, and I ended up in a hospital. But a lot of the stuff that I believe the author is speaking about is very misleading, especially possibly to some of your listeners who may not have any, you know, knowledge of the subject. And I feel that he's kind of mincing words and kind of confusing people out there. And
what do you think he's misleading people about?
Well,
specifically.
Specifically,
sure.
I could go into like a lot of things.
Well,
like,
just,
you know,
give me one.
Okay. From my experience, I believe that, like he's talking about the tunnel and the white light, that if you are a true Christian, then you are a follower of God. I believe that there's really only one true religion. That's my espoused belief right now at this time. and say that is the case, and I do believe it's called the truth. And I believe this gentleman has been mixing, you know, has a satanic background. You are following Satan, and therefore Satan works through people, like as he says, he shows himself as the light, he, you know, all these wonderful things. How does he not know that he's still not doing Satan's work by promoting this book and putting false ideas out there?
Okay, that's a fair question. All right, let's.
You know what I'm saying? I mean,
well,
I can probably
rip this
guy.
So hold on, hold on. So,
well, I could.
Take a deep breath, Zev. We're doing the devil's work, Zev.
Of course, I disagree with that. I follow Yahushua, which means Yah or God is salvation and truth, life and way. That's the way I follow. That's what got me out of trouble.
What was the name again? Excuse me, I didn't mean to butt in. What was the name of your God that you are following again?
Jesus.
There is a someone that is above Jesus, that is his father. Do you know the name of that God?
Of course, Yahweh.
That you're pronouncing incorrectly.
I'm not, actually.
It's Jehovah.
Jehovah came later.
All right, come on. Tomato, tomato.
No. There is a fine line. Jehovah is God's true name.
Sounds like
his
you're
religion
talking
is
about
called
the same,
the truth.
Same.
And I know I found Yahweh in my occult books. Yahweh is it's the way that you pronounce it if you are trying to do musical, it's like alliteration, the way that you think
so
that you're saying the name properly, but you are not, and
us.
I know this to be true.
He's tricking us then, is that right?
Yes, he is.
All right, so there you are, you're tricking us.
Well, could I say something about Yahweh?
Yes,
Yahushua?
You may. Yes.
Okay, Yahweh, from the Hebrew, Y-H-W-H is the transliteration, Yahweh, and Yahushua, the real name of Jesus, means Yahweh is salvation. And I just follow that. And so the God I follow, I also call him God and Father.
Okay.
And if you have the Father, you have the Son.
Sounded like you were talking about the same to me, and it was just a matter of pronunciation.
I know. I pray, that I have not offended.
All right. West of the Rockies, your chance to be offended by Zef Daniel. Hello.
Yeah. No, thanks for the program, Mark. Taking my call. I'm listening on Santa Barbara, California, KTMS 990.
Yes, sir.
And, I have a little personal interest in this right here, where during the tail end of the Vietnam War, I have about a six-week block of erased memory. There's no memory whatsoever.
During the which war was that?
Vietnam. Yeah. And I was just going back to the nuts and bolts, Mr. Daniel, about the mind control and what, how they administered it. Was it drug, light? Was it implantation? Was it just sexual abuse?
All right, fair question. Sure. Okay. The mind control administered in what ways?
Mind control, beginning at when you're talking about satanic ritual abuse, you are talking about some pretty horrific things. You're talking about sexual molestation, torture. You're talking about human sacrifice for the and to have children participate in it. And I'm not going to go into too much about my personal involvement, just to say this, that I was removed from this situation at an early age because I fought back. But then they mind controlled me in a different way, i.e. putting, counselors and people around me to convince me that I didn't see what I had seen.
Mm-hmm.
And now what I want to ask the caller is this. You have a
long... You can't ask the caller anything. She's gone.
There was a long time of missing, of just a blank, which signifies some
yes.
kind of trauma.
Something, yeah, something.
Something happened there.
All right, while we have the chance, International Line, you're on the air with Zef Daniel. Hello.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay, sir.
My name's James from Toronto.
Okay.
First, I'd like to wish you a happy Thanksgiving.
Great.
Because we're having our Thanksgiving out here in Toronto.
Okay.
Okay, so he's had some issues with satanic abuse. Does he think that he's been hypnotized in any way? Does he think that he's been replaying this idea of abuse in his mind like a movie, trying to correct it, but at the same time he still giving out the same information that's been programmed into him.
Ooh. There's a snaggler of a question.
That's
all
a
right.
Good question.
What about it, Ziff?
Well, when I was in denial about all this stuff, and I had memory, no memory, because when you it's 3 and 4 and 5 years old, you know, the memories are overcome, but there was a trauma there, and I think I had to keep filling in this nice little that it never happened. You know, I kept having to do that, but I had some real psychological problems.
Yeah, but the real thrust of the man's question was,
yeah,
are you sure you're still not playing it out and replaying what happened to you? I mean, that's a legit question.
Yes. I am. How free am I at this point? I would say this. I've gone through a lot of healing, but occasionally I'll have post-traumatic stress, you know, issues.
Yes.
Where I will be suddenly, because there was self-destruct programming put in me, and that's what sometimes gets played and triggered, and it's terrible. It's a very terrible time because you just feel like it's horrific, and it comes, and I have to wait it out till it passes. So yes, I'm still afflicted somewhat in that way, and I pray that, you know, to get through it and beyond it.
All right, first time caller line. You're on the air with Zeph Daniel. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Proceed.
I totally resonate with what Zeph is saying.
Because?
Because about 5 years ago, I also started having experiences, and they started out with alien experiences where I felt like my consciousness was being taken from my body.
Mm-hmm.
And then it went in to where I think I cleansed my home, and it was like, I don't know if it's like the Native American Indians talk about, you take your power back. And I got rid of that negative energy, and the energy was, it made me feel like an animal terror.
Zeph?
Did you feel like what?
It was just like a animal terror. It was just like terror. Like there was something that totally didn't resonate with
like
me.
Like a primal terror.
That's
exactly.
Witchcraft. That's a form. Someone may have put some bad, something bad on you. You know, it sounds like someone threw some witchcraft on you, some negative.
Well, I don't know about all you've said tonight, Zeph, but I do know that I've talked to a witch and here on the air, and she has confirmed in graphic, horrific detail that this kind of ritualistic torture and ritualistic even killing of children does go on more than the average American citizen would even dare dream about.
There's a horrible, deep, dark secret, and you wonder with so many people involved in it, how do they keep it completely secret?
It is, well, maybe because it is so horrible.
The things that
the real world has punishments for this, you know, like the death penalty.
I've never seen any of these.
Nor
ever.
Have I.
Not one person have I ever seen brought before the law.
Yeah, well, maybe that's right, but those are the penalties that await for some of the deeds that are done. Wildcard line, you're on the air with Zeph Daniel.
Yeah, good morning, Art. Good morning, Zeph.
Good morning.
First of all, Art, welcome back to the WHAM airwaves in Rochester overnights here in New York.
Oh, that's right. We got back to WHAM, didn't we?
Yeah, thank God for that. It beats the trucker, but we won't talk about that. Zeph, I just have a quick question. What is your view on purgatory? And this is coming from a Catholic.
After death. Well, the closest thing I could tell you about a purgatory experience, it may parallel, is I was taken in the spirit to... I lived at the site of an Indian massacre in New Mexico at one time, and then I realized I was brought there to... I was taken into the spirit by the Lord to minister to the traumatized Indians that were massacred, mainly women and children in this particular thing that happened. And it was like a purgatory. It was I called it Sheol at the time. and I ministered to them. I think what I was led to say to them was that all of us would have strung up Jesus on a cross. None of us is righteous, not one of us, and something to that effect. And they went on to another state of being, but where they were was in a they were stuck in this state between two worlds. I know that's not like the Catholic purgatory where you're waiting there for judgment.
It is a cleansing. We sort of view it as a cleansing.
Well, in this case,
earning our way into heaven.
Okay. All I know is in this particular case, these Indians were holding on to anger and hate and resentment and trauma and shock, and they were stuck and very unhappy. And so they were cleansed, purged of this when they heard the good news that they could emancipate to, you know, in their mind would be the happy hunting grounds. And then, and after I ministered to them, all but a couple of them left. The other two, there were two scouts that stayed behind on that property, and they kept tormenting. They would, you could hear them, their footsteps at night, and you could, they also could do things in our world. In other words, they would take, say there was a maintenance guy there, they'd take his tools, or they'd hit somebody or something like that. There was poltergeist activity, in other words.
So they were active on Earth, even though they were in something of a purgatory.
But the women and children, the main bulk of them, they went on because actually the Lord Jesus was ministering to them through using me in that, and they moved on. And that probably doesn't answer the question. I don't know about purgatory, sir, because I was not raised Catholic.
Oh, that's fine. It's all right to say I don't know. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Zeph Daniel. Hello?
Yes, hi.
Hi, turn your radio off, please.
It is off.
Okay.
Now, yes, hi. I just wanted to ask you a question. I have a friend that has MPD, and she is a Christian, and she and I have been friends for about 8 years. However, because of the other personality, sometimes I'm dealing with one or dealing with the other. I had an experience one night where I spent the night with her, and coincidentally, I had also been looking on Coast to Coast on the Internet at ghosts and, you know, all of the pictures on there. But before I went to bed, I just posed the question of, you know, what am I dealing with her? What is this?
All right, it's going to have to, I'm sorry to cut you short, but it's going to have to be a pretty quick answer. We're about out of time, Zeph. What would you say to her?
Healing. I pray in the name of Lord Yahushua that you heal this woman.
I can almost hear that other caller yelling. He's tricking us.
It's a healing issue. It's a healing issue. When someone has MPD, what they need is a healing. It's a, you know, pray for the healing of that soul,
right,
to reintegrate, because that's what happens when people are traumatized.
All right, look, buddy, we're out of time. Your book, Lamb, is available, you're saying, on Amazon.com and
right,
all the commonly found places or bookstores or what?
It's right now it's Amazon.com and through the website Zephnet.com, but I think that links back. I also have another book, a satire about mind control in Hollywood called Glass Backwards.
Well, if you can laugh about it, a satire, then...
It's very funny, but it's pretty, you know, it's pretty intense.
All right, well, listen, it's been interesting having you here tonight. I want to thank you.
I thank you, Art.
Good night, Zeph.
Good night.
All right, folks, that's it for this weekend. That's all the time we've got. And I want to thank the Premier Radio Networks. I want to thank George. I want to thank Lisa Lyon, that's L-I-S-A-L-Y-O-N, who books my guests. She's the one who does that, and her home phone number is 555.
The night in the desert.